Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Moses had his Joshua and Ur. I have my Rose and Kyle. They have been with me almost 24/7 since last July 27th. They have made it a point of making sure that Mom was ready for such a time as this. You know, you may have a seat, because you're going to get plenty to shout about today. Not because of me, but because of what God has ordained for today. And I'm so glad to see so many of you who obeyed God and come out to be a part of this today. But in addition to that part that Dolores got, actually Rose got that last Sunday while we were in church, and I said to her, why didn't you get it? Why didn't you share it when Deacon William shared what he did? She thought, well, no, you know, she's a little on the shy side sometimes. So I said, well, we're going to share it Sunday morning. And I asked her to let Dolores share it, because Dolores shares everything so well. We understand her clearly. But there's an additional part to that that we found out even later, that we need to, if we're going to be like the eagles, then that we need to practice what God did with eagles. There's another article that talks about the fact that when the female eagle recognizes that there's a male eagle that she's interested in and he's interested in her, she starts testing him to make sure that he's going to be the one, because she's got to stay with him for life. So she wants to make sure that he's ready for a lifelong experience and responsibility. Okay? That is something we girls have not yet learned to do. Oftentimes we will get, God will give us an education or give us something else, and we will be soaring into what he has for us, and then we hook up with somebody that's so far beneath us in terms of everything that we do. We take them to an executive party or something like that. The vocabulary, everything about them starts to embarrass us, and then we wonder why we're embarrassed. Well, you settled for less than what God intended for you to have in the first place. He wants you to have somebody at least equal to the occasion. Okay? And you need to know what the eagle's responsibility is. And so if you've got to hook up with somebody for life, you need to know what their responsibility is. This is not something that they're trying. This is something they've got to do for the rest of their lives. And that includes providing for the family, because the eagle helps to build the nest. The female eagle does not build the nest by herself. The male eagle helps. And we're not going to go into all of that right now, but the male eagle has responsibilities to build that nest also, as long as it needs to be built. And Lord, help me. One of the things that she does is when she suspects that this is the eagle that she's supposed to spend the rest of her life with, she locates a little tiny twig, picks it up, and drops it to the earth. And he dives down to get it. And he has to catch that twig before it lands on the earth. Because if he can't grab that twig, then how is he going to help build a nest that she needs for the family? Oh, yes. So he goes, he gets that twig before it hits the earth. Then he brings it back up to her. And what do you think she does? She flies higher and drops it again. And he has to repeat this until she is satisfied that he's never going to let that twig hit the ground. And then she decides that, okay, this is my lifelong partner. And that's something that we don't do. We don't test our future companions. We're not supposed to test. Oh, yes, you are. You need to, first of all, know what his responsibility is. And if you notice in the Bible, it says that the eagle is mentioned 39 times. How many stripes did Paul receive? 39 stripes. So my feeling is that he got a stripe for every time he was supposed to remember what goes on with the eagle. So you and I don't do that, and we need to. And when it comes to the mother eaglet, you know, how she goes in and causes a commotion and stirs up the nest to get the baby to fall out of it. And she already knows that she's going to catch it before it hits the ground. It doesn't know that. But she knows it. Why does she know it? Because when God created her in the first place, he gave her everything that she was going to need to know what her responsibilities are. And some of us as parents, instead of stirring up the nest to get the eaglets out, we want to keep them there a little bit too long. And that's why the Bible talks about a man leaving mother and father, but it also talks about a woman leaving the mother and father. When it says a man, it's just talking about mankind. It's not talking about a male person. But some of us try to hold on to our children far too long. You know, how old were you when I kicked you out? 19 years old, right? 19 years old. And if God had told me to do it sooner, he would have been gone before that. But 19, and he's going to be 50 this year, and he hasn't been allowed to come back since. He does not have a key to my house, so he can't come and go when he feels like it. And when going gets rough out there for him, he can't just come home to mama, because once he left, he's now on his own. And we don't do it. We don't treat our children like the eagle treats their little ones. We're supposed to stir up the nest and put them out there, help them learn, I mean, catch them if they're in trouble. And I've had an occasion or two to do that. But I'd also don't let him feel that, okay, I'm always going to do that. He never knows when I'm going to bail him out of something that he allowed himself to get in, because my attitude is, I taught him well enough to know that sooner or later, buddy, you're supposed to get this thing together on your own. And mama's not going to always be here to bail you out. So you better learn how. And the thing that I love really more about the eagle is that they were never created, really. Even though they learn how to fly and flap their wings and all, they were created to soar. And so when they start trying to just settle for flying, they end up not using all that God intended for them to do. But if they decide to just wait on him and wait for the right wind, see, we settle for too many winds. We waste a lot of our energy and a lot of our time getting involved in winds that we had no business getting involved in the first place. So we really have not learned, some of us haven't learned yet, how to just go find that place that God has for us to wait for him, because he knows the plan. And then by the Spirit, it's like I knew that I was supposed to share this Sunday, but suppose I had wanted to share when I first came back 3 months ago. I wasn't ready. You weren't ready. No, I could not have walked from that seat over here by myself unattended. Then they came along because they felt they wanted to be secure. They didn't come along because is that true? Rose and Kyle, is that true? Okay. They felt they needed to feel secure. So they wanted to walk with me. But I already knew that I was supposed to. Rose leaned over and asked me, was I taking the cane with me? I said no. And then she wanted to know all kinds of other things. But I knew I knew as of last week that I was coming down here and I was going to walk from that seat to this podium one time, because the last time I preached here, I didn't need any help. I didn't need any escorts. And so if I'm back, I'm back to do it in God's strength. And so I waited for the wind of the Holy Spirit to speak to me and tell me when it was time for me to soar. And soar I'm going to do today, baby. Please understand that you haven't seen anything yet. Can you believe that I even have nerve enough that I'm going to lay hands on the sick? I'm going to lay hands on the sick before you leave here today. Now, can you imagine somebody who has had a stroke, still recovering, laying hands on the sick for their recovery? But you see, I'm not laying hands on the sick because of what I can do. I'm laying hands on the sick because the Bible says that signs and wonders will follow those that believe in His name. And also, that's all I really have to do. Teach His word, you know, give out the word. The signs and wonders will follow the word and the laying on of hands. And that's all I have to do is give you the word today and lay my hands on those who are coming who are not going to sit back. And then some are going to sit and miss their blessing because they're going to say, how can a person who's in recovery themselves have nerve enough to come down and lay hands on the sick? What can I get from her? You're not going to get a thing from me, baby. You didn't get anything from me before I left here. I didn't bring anything new back with me. Okay? I left you with the word in July. All I came back with was the word because the word was the only thing that sustained me during those 7 months that I was gone. So you want to miss your blessing today, stay in your seat. But if you want to get what you need from the Lord, not from me, I have nothing to give you, nothing at all, okay? Except I'm bold enough. I'm not going to be like the disciples. I'm going to believe in His name. And one of the things, we're going to read the scripture in a few minutes. One of the things that I love about Mark, the 16th chapter, and you might as well turn to verse 9, because we're going to read from 9 through 20. And I'm fortunate enough in that I have a staff that blew everything up large enough for me to be able to read it and put it in plastic sleeves that I don't have to confuse my pages or anything. But before we get into that, why don't you turn with me to John 3:16-17, and we'll read it together from the King James translation. By now you should know it by heart. Okay. But we're going to read, open your Bibles there, or whatever translation you might have. Okay, let's begin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Those are the two scriptures that I have held on to all my life, along with Matthew 6:10, when the minister, the Sunday that I got saved, when that minister shared in the Lord's Prayer, for God, he said, give us this day our daily bread. I was a 7-year-old child sitting on the second row, and I was sitting on the second row because that's where my mother sat every Sunday when she was in church. But this particular Sunday, she was not in church because that week she had fallen on a fire escape coming down the steps where she worked. And she cut her leg. And so that particular Sunday, her leg had a 3-inch gash in it. And she didn't go to church. But there was no such thing just because Mama didn't go to church that you got to stay home. So my brother and I went. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me that morning, and when he got to give us this day our daily bread, you know, most of you know this story. I said, as a 7-year-old child, knowing nothing about the Holy Ghost, because I came from a Baptist church and we didn't talk about the Holy Ghost or the unholy ghost. We didn't want no kind of ghosts. No kind of ghosts. And so I said on the inside of me, that's why I know you got to be careful about what you say to yourself. I said, Lord, why do I have to settle for daily bread? Why can't I get a week's supply, a month's supply, or a year's supply? And this spirit I know now was the Holy Spirit said on the inside of me, because I wouldn't hear from you until you had exhausted it all. And I'll need you talking to me, young lady, every day. Well, I had no clue what he meant by that, but I'm telling you, I have found that he was very serious. So for 68 years, I have been talking to him every day. So I've been getting more than a daily supply. I've been getting a weekly supply, a monthly supply, a yearly supply, and what was needed when I didn't even know I needed it. But it's worked out just fine. So that scripture is one of my favorites to remember every day also. I hope most of you will attempt to recall the day you got saved, because that was a very special day for me. Just like tomorrow is going to actually be my 75th birthday. I've been celebrating it for the last 7 months as though I've already there, because the first thing the enemy said to me when I got in the hospital last July was that you will never live, because we had talked about at the anniversary about my 75th birthday, and he says you'll never see your 75th birthday. You'll never be there. They won't be there. So you will have just talked about it for in vain. And so I thought, okay, Lord, you inspired me to say that. So now it's your job to back up whether or not I'm going to be there, because I believe your word. And since the devil is telling me I'm not going to do it, he'd never done anything but lied, so there's no reason for me to believe him now. Would you turn with me, please, to Mark, the 16th chapter, starting at verse 9, and we're going to conclude in verse 20. And we'll read it together from the King James translation. And then I'll talk about it afterwards. But I don't know, you guys have the clock set for 45 minutes, but I can't promise you that I'm going to stay within 45 minutes. Because, like, after the message, we're still going to have the laying on of hands. We're not going to have questions and answers today, because there are going to be too many questions. I mean, you already have more questions than we have time for. Okay. Like, what am I doing up here, first of all? And secondly, how did I get up here without being escorted, without a rollator and without a cane? So you already have more questions than we have time to ask, and there's more of you, so you listen long enough and you'll get all your questions answered, just like you got everything you needed to know about an eagle right now. You just need to study more about what God did with an eagle, so you'll know how you supposed, as his child, how you're supposed to act in many instances. It says when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief, or for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You see? Well, there's so many stories in this story, in these several verses. But one of the main ones is that Jesus had a plan, and he was not going to be hindered or delayed by anyone. He recognized that the devil killed him, but it couldn't keep him in the grave. And that's something that we need to remember also. He might be able to kill us. He might be able to thwart something that we're doing, but he can't keep us in the grave. We need to take on that same attitude. Why? Because he was risen by a force greater than death, which was the Spirit of God. Because it says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So we need to understand that we have a force working with us that's greater than death. We were kept in for so long. We were kept in sin for so long. When we were made free, we forgot to give praise to the Almighty. The devil should have never allowed us to receive our freedom from Jesus Christ. We need to ask ourselves, what was God's purpose in saving us? Certainly it was not to continue in the same things that we were doing. No, he had and still has a plan that includes service for him. And he did not save us to serve Satan or participate in his former habit, in our former habits. I think that Jesus, and I love this, I think Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene because he already knew that she wanted to be free of the devil's influence. His job was going to be made so much easier because he had already had an inroad into her heart. When he freed her of seven devils, she had tasted that freedom for some time. Not just after he rose from the dead, but before he went into the grave, before he went on the cross. And so he thought, I'll start with somebody that I know has had experience with me. It's like Isaiah and Pastor Sarah. We have had our experiences with the Lord, so it's not surprising to me that he's using me under these circumstances on my 75th birthday. He's not interested in me celebrating 75. He's interested in me celebrating him. Amen? Okay, what age it is, when he's done what he has done for me, he's interested in me celebrating him. So that's what he did where she was concerned. He knew he had an inroad into her heart. And those of us who had been with him should have been the first to receive from him. I mean, she didn't walk with him to the degree that the disciples did because they had a personal relationship. They were with him 24/7. That's what Rose and Kyle are not going to have any excuses if they ever decide to go any other way because they have watched miracle after miracle after miracle be performed throughout me. Not for me so much, but throughout me, because God has, he brought them back into my life. Kyle was the reason I wrote It Is Written for My Children. So if you all don't have a copy, and I wrote it when he was 19 years old when I put him out, and he's going to be, like I said, he's going to be 50 this year. So it works, folks. It works, okay? But they had walked with the Lord every day. She had not. Okay. But there are usually two groups of people that have been exposed to Jesus. The mourners and the weepers and the ones that want to share that he is alive and well. Are you a mourning weeper? Are you one that want to proclaim his beauty and his glory? One group believes that they hear what they hear concerning him. The others believe not. And just because someone is exposed to everything that Jesus is about does not necessarily make them a believer. Jesus is so gracious and faithful, even in our unbelief, that he's willing to extend himself even in another form if necessary. If he comes to you one way and you don't receive him, he's willing to make a necessary change. But we're so selfish that we have to insist on being received as we are. We could make a few adjustments ourselves to win others to Christ. The ones that did believe carried it to the residue. And I looked up that word residue, and it says the remaining ones, the remnant, that which remains after the separation, or the rest. So there's always a remnant that's available. And just because a remnant remains, are they really dependable? When Pastor Clinton passed almost 7 years ago, 2/3 of this congregation departed. It was a mass exodus. But God gave me Zachariah Marsh. You didn't share all of Zachariah this morning. Zachariah, the 13th chapter, the 9th through the 12th verses, I believe it was. Okay, you can read that later. After the separation, the rest. Because a remnant remains, are they dependable? They may still not believe. Imagine having given your everything. Jesus, this was a motley crew. I mean, he had hung on the cross. He had bled and died. He had been sent into hell, into the very pits of hell for 3 days and defeated the devil. When he rose from the dead, if he expected to be greeted by a bunch that believed that he first of all was going to rise, he was shocked because they did not believe. When the people came and told him that they'd seen him, they didn't believe. And even the residue, those that had remained faithful to him, they still didn't believe. But Jesus' attitude was the same that it is with us. It's like he could have had Pastor Greg and Pastor Ed, Dolores, Deacon William, and any number of people preach or teach this morning. He didn't need me. But his attitude is quite different from ours. When somebody is not at their very best, we kind of put them aside and say, okay, not yet, you're not ready. But they were all that Jesus had left. And his attitude was, hey, I've got to use this bunch. But with my spirit and with my word, if they will just go for, because I have to do the confirming of the signs and wonders. They don't have to do anything but give out my word and lay hands on the sick. So he was taking a chance in a sense, because he wasn't taking so much of a chance on them, because he already knew what they were capable of. But he was taking a chance on his word, and if they would just be willing to give out his word. And that's where you and I need to understand what's going on with us. Jesus doesn't want to use us just because we've been to Bible school, or just because we've listened to every tape published, or because we've been in this church for the last 32 years. He wants to use us because we're all, and when I say we, not just talking about me, we're all he has left. All he wants us to do is be willing to give out his word and be willing to lay hands on the sick. And why is he so confident? Because the reason that they were, let's see if I can find where that is. Remember, it says that he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, and part of the problem was that they did not believe. He says, if you believe in my name, you believe in my name, signs and wonders will follow. We believe in the person of Jesus Christ, and we believe that he's seated at the right hand of Father right now. We believe that. But do we really believe in his name? Because if we believe in his name, okay, then the rest of it will, he will support the rest of it. Did you notice that he didn't have any further conversation after he talked to his disciples, after he talked to the remnant, after he talked to that unbelieving motley crew? He didn't say anything else. He just ascended to his Father because he knew that's where he needed to be to support what it was that he was going to believe that they were going to do. And he couldn't stay here in the earth with him. And that's why we can't, he can't stay here in the earth with us right now. But bless God, if we believe in his name, I can assure you he is in heaven to support and confirm every sign and every wonder that occurs, okay? It was bad enough that they walked with him and were his personal friends, but they still did not believe. Their unbelief and hardness of heart added to his suffering. That's another word for unbelief, suffering. You and I would have washed our hands of them once and for all, said a few choice words to them, and certainly reminded them of all that we had done for them. We'd have told them about the cross. We'd have told them about the thorns. We'd have told them about the piercing of the side. We'd have told them everything. You know, I did all of this for you, and this is how you respond to me. Okay, no. Jesus understood his purpose, and nothing was going to deter him from that. He told them what to do, where to do it, who to do it with, for, and the penalty for the hearers who refused their assignment. We often wonder why Jesus would assign them such a great task. Well, they were all that he had, and he was going to show them and the devil what he was capable of achieving through those who didn't even believe, who were just there traveling. How many of us have been traveling with the Lord and not really believing that he's capable of doing? Well, I tell you, there will never be any doubt in my mind anymore of anything because I've experienced it for myself now. Okay? He did not have time, nor does he have time now for us to get it all together. We wait for people to get their degrees. We wait for them to get everything that we think they need to do what we want them to do before we will release them. My attitude is, like I told one of my spiritual daughters some time ago when her daughter was going to school, to a special school, I said to her, have you trained her all these years? And she was 16 at the time. And she said, yes, I have. I said, well, then trust the training. And that's what we need to do, learn to trust the training. If I have trained you, that's why I could let my 19-year-old go out, because I had trained him in what he was supposed to do. There was no question in my mind that if he didn't make it, he wasn't going to make it because he chose not to act on what I had already taught him, because we could hear him around the house sometimes on the telephone with his friends preaching every one of Clinton's sermons or every one of mine. So we knew he knew it. And if he didn't respond to it and he didn't act on it, it wasn't going to be because he hadn't been trained properly. So I had to learn to trust the training rather than put up with him sneaking out of the house at night and coming back with a six-pack, you know, and on the patio. In fact, one night I heard him go out, didn't know what he was going to, and he would leave the patio screen unfastened so he could get back in. Only this particular night, Mama went down and fastened it. So he didn't have his keys with him. So he had to ring the bell when he came in. And that's when I decided, okay, this house isn't going to be big enough, because I can't stay home and watch what you do all the time, Buster. So you either going to come in and obey the rules of this house, it's time for you to get your own apartment. Would I give you 30 days or 60 days? Probably 30, most likely. But anyway, Clinton and I agreed to pay the security, a month's rent, 2 months security, a month's rent, and gave him, if he said 30 days, I thought it was 60. And anyway, I went over, I even painted the place for him because I didn't want him to have any excuses of not being able to move in. He didn't have a stick of furniture of any kind, and my attitude was he can sleep on the floor. You know, the place is clean and all, and unfortunately or fortunately, his grandmother, my mother, passed during that whatever period of time it was. And so my brother ended up giving him all of her furniture, so he went into an apartment fully furnished. In fact, I think you still have some of that furniture now, don't you? Or you finally got rid of all of it? When you moved back to New York recently, he got rid of it, but he had had it for 28 years. Okay? And so I was satisfied that he was going to make out just fine because I trusted the word that I had taught him. I didn't trust his behavior and conduct because he was subject to do anything. Like sometimes, you know, you guys are subject to do anything. So that's why when I hear some of the things that you're doing, I'm disappointed, but I'm not shocked because I know you just decided to ignore the word and operate in unbelief because you didn't believe what I stood up here and taught you. I've had experience after experience. This is just another experience. I don't want to have to keep going through experiences in order to convince you all of what Jesus will do in your life. I don't want to have to keep being the living example. He was the living example. I don't need to be. But he has demonstrated, however long you've been here, if you've been here the 32 years, if you've been here 32 weeks, you've been here 32 minutes, he has demonstrated through various things that he's done between me and Pastor Clinton that he is who he said he is, and all we have to do is believe in his name. We've got not just believe in him, we've got to believe in his name because it's his name, folks, that gets the job done. It's not just believing in him because most of us believe that he is the Son of God. And most of us believe that he's seated with God in heavenly places right now. And most of us believe that he's going to return again. But do we believe in his name enough to do the things that he would do here in the earth? Well, he went back to his Father so he could trust us enough with his name. I've shared the word with you this morning. I've shared, all you have to do is believe in his name. All you have to do is lay hands on the sick. All you have to do is recognize the signs and wonders that's going to occur here this morning are going to come, not because of me, not because of anybody, not because of Morris singing, not because of Phil taking pictures, not because of Pastor Ed or Pastor Greg, but do you believe that the signs and wonders that you need from him are going to occur when I lay my hands on you? Because if you do, because he's not a man that he can lie, he said these signs and wonders will follow them that believe in my name. And then he went on to, I'm not going to cast out any devils. I'm just going to believe for signs and wonders to fall on each of you that come forward this morning. So if you have received the word this morning and your faith has soared a little bit more since you got here, why don't you get up and come down here right now so that we can pray for you and lay hands on you.